The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Father, we worship you. We recognize and honor your presence. We ascribe all glory and honor to your name. Your word declares, for unto you shall the gathering of the people be. Our hearts are fixed. We shall sing praise to you. We shall teach one generation to be a blessing of your knowledge and experience to another generation. The psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." We have tasted of your salvation. We have tasted of your mercies. And we have tasted of your grace. We say you are good, and your mercies endure it forever. We thank you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give a big clap and a big shout to the glory of God? Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you very much, praise team. Hallelujah. It's such a joy to welcome you back to the house of God. And today I believe that God has something good for us. Can I hear an amen? The season we are in calls for me to preach on a subject that is relevant to the circumstances. So I'm going to make a little change, let me put it that way, and teach on the topic, how to choose a friend. How to choose a friend. How to choose a friend. Hallelujah. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8, Isaiah 41, 8. We'll read Isaiah 41:8, after which we'll read James 2:23. Isaiah 41:8 says, "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen you descendants of Abraham, my friend." Remember, Israel is the same as Jacob. And Jacob's father, if you like, or Jacob's grandfather was Abraham. And Abraham, in this context, is being described as a friend of God. If you look at James chapter 2, verse 23, it confirms the same. James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or accounted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." In our relationship with God, there are many aspects of Him. One part is that we relate to God as our Father. Jesus, when He rose up from the grave after His resurrection, stated that, "Don't touch me." That was when some women folk came to the graveside. And he said that, "I am yet to ascend to my Father, who is also your Father. And I'm yet to ascend to my God, who is also your God." So that scripture introduces to us that God is our Father. In other words, God is our Maker. And the word Father means Pater. Or the word Father in the original is the word Pater, which means the one who starts a lineage. So the human race was started by God. God is our Father. He planned for us before he brought us into this world. Now, this scripture we are reading introduces us to another aspect of God. That in your walk with God as a father, you can have an additional benefit of God being your friend. And Abraham became God's friend because the Bible says Abraham became obedient. He heard the word of God when no word had been preached to anybody at that time like that before. And he embraced the word, he believed it, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. And from then on, he began to walk with God. And in his walk with God, God disclosed a lot of things to him. And in these scriptures, we are seeing that Abraham related to God also as a friend. As a matter of fact, it was God who related to Abraham as his friend. You see, the situation of friendship is a prison for some people. So number one, who is a friend? A friend is a person you share a mutual bond or affection with. A friend is a person that you share a mutual bond. The word mutual means two ways. So you are held together, you are bound together in the cord of love, and you express affection, love toward one another. The second meaning of a friend is a companion. A companion. There are many companions of yours. But when we talk about a friend, then we are talking about a favored companion. You may have 12 companions, 20 companions, but when you begin to pick the best out of them, then we are saying that this is a favored companion, one that gets along with you well. Number three, a friend is a confidant, one in whom you can confide, one in whom you can share your fears, one in whom you can share your failures with, your hopes, your aspirations, one in whom you can trust and mention some things to, and you know that this person has your back. Number four, a friend is a comrade. A comrade is either an associate, is an ally, or is a compatriot. In the political circles, they use this expression a lot. They are talking about my friend, they're talking about my ally, they're talking about my associate, they're talking about my compatriot. And finally, the word friend means a buddy, B-U-D-D-Y. Someone who is your buddy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Someone who is closely associated with you. Someone who is very dear to your heart. Someone that you treasure so much. Now, the next thing I'm going to do is to outline what we have as characteristics of a friend. I've heard so many times that I do good to people, but they end up doing evil to me. And every friend I take, they envy me, they don't like me. Well, maybe sometimes it's your choice that you make. If you make the right choices, you face minimal problems. But if your choice is not good, then you face some of the worst problems. When we were young, we were told that friends are not good. But my God was a friend to Abraham. So what you are saying contradicts the word of God. If you look into Jesus' life, Jesus also had friends. And the family of Lazarus was his family. So he was friends with Mary, he was friends with Martha, he was friends with Lazarus. Remember when he was carrying the cross and trying to climb the Mount of Golgotha, and he fell down many times. The one who came to help was Simon of Cyrene. He was also a friend. Remember that somebody took Jesus' body and buried him after his death. That person was also a friend. If you come to the 12 disciples, although he chose them for ministry, he sat and ate with them. Out of the 12, he had three. Peter, James, and John. And he also, in that circle, he related to them. Then out of it, he had John and said, John, my beloved. So Jesus had friends, and he still has friends. Ask the next person, who is your friend? Who is your friend? Oh, friends are bad. Friends are no good, though. Well, bad friends are bad, but good friends are good. As parents, it's our job to teach our children how to cultivate good friends and to help them make the distinction between what a bad friend is and what a good friend is. Any community, any society in which you go, you will find good people, you'll find bad people. Whether it's your family, whether it's the community around your house, whether it's church, whether it's a school, whether it's a workplace, you will find people that when you associate with, it will enhance your life. And you'll find other people too whose association may bring you down. So let's look at what the characteristics of a friend are. Number one, a friend is somebody who has a strong liking for another. A friend is somebody who has a strong liking for another. In other words, that person really enjoys your company. And that person really enjoys sharing fellowship with you. That person really enjoys sharing quality time and conversation with you. I'll come to explain what it means to like in the course of this message. Number two characteristic of a friend is one that you can trust and the person trusts you back. In other words, this friend believes in you. You may have nothing, but the friend believes in you. You may be down and sinking, but the friend believes in you. That you have a future, you have a destiny, and this friend would even care to speak the word of God into your life. Now, such a friend that trusts you doesn't come with a baggage of suspicions. You know, there are people that when they come around you, they are always suspicious. When your phone is lying there and you're not around, they want to pick the phone and look on it. When your iPad is there, when your laptop is there, and maybe you were communicating with someone, the person wants to get close and look at what is on it. If you are looking at things that don't concern you, one day something may strike your eye. So, what God doesn't want you to see, don't go and look for it. Tell the next person. I say, what God doesn't want you to see, don't go and look out for that. So, this is someone you can trust, and the person trusts you back. The person believes in you. There are no suspicions, there are no insecurities, and there are no fears in your relationship. Number three, a friend is one with whom you can share your aspirations and your values, or one with whom you share the same aspirations and values. One with whom you share the same aspirations and values. Your aspirations could be your dream, your vision, your hopes, your great expectations about what you want God to do for you. Your values could be your humility, your trustworthiness, your dependability, your honesty, your hard work, your giving, etc. So you will find that as you relate to this friend, he may be aspiring to be an engineer, and you may be aspiring to be a close designer, but your aspirations can be shared together. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You can have a friend where you are a minister of the gospel, and you're trusting God to lift your ministry, and this other person is aspiring to be a university professor. The fact that the two of you have aspirations mean that you have something to share together. Then about your values. If the values are diametrically opposed and the person believes in deceiving and cheating and being crooked, then your values don't overlap. So in choosing a friend, we both look at aspirations and we also look at values. Number four, a friend is someone who is really close to you. Someone who is really close to you. We use the word intimate to express it. The word intimate does not always connote the idea of sex. Two people can be very close without sex. And so they could be even men, very close. It could be even two women, not a homosexual relationship, but they are friends. They have aspirations and they are close together. The word intimate comes from a Latin word intimus, I-N-T-I-M-U-S, which means inmost, which means the innermost. If you have a group of concentric circles, you find that the smallest circle is in the middle, the next larger circle, and the next larger until the biggest circle is outward. Those around the biggest circle are far from the bull's eye, which is the center of those circles. And we say that the one around the middle of the bull's eye is the one who is closest and dearest to you. But the ones who are on the wider circles live on the fringes of your life. They are not people that you want to share your plans with. They are not people that you want to share your breakthroughs with. You don't want them to know details about your business plan and your business patterns, because you don't know them much, or you know a bit of them that does not allow you to bring them that close. So a friend is someone who's really close to you. Number five, a friend is one who helps or seeks to support you. When God gives you a friend, like God gave Jonathan to David, or David to Jonathan, it was a helping relationship. It was a relationship of supporting one another. Jonathan was the heir apparent. In other words, he was the one destined to inherit his father. So he was a prince and a king in the making. But David had been chosen by God to be king of Israel. Instead of Jonathan having insecurity and jealousy against David, he recognized that this choice was a choice of God. And there was no way that he could fight it. He noticed his father Saul was against David and he couldn't understand it. And so he did all in his best to be close to David and to help him whenever the plot of his father was to destroy him. You would realize that this help continued after Jonathan died together with his father prematurely. And Jonathan had a son who was lame by name Mephibosheth, and was isolated to a place where, as if he was consigned to poverty and to misery and to pain, a place called Lodibar. But when David came on the throne, David had compassion and called one of his army generals and asked, "Is there anyone yet in the household of Saul that I can show kindness to?" And they said, "There is one person by name Mephibosheth, one of the sons of Jonathan." Now you look at the relationship that they had, they covenanted, David and Jonathan. And they helped one another. And even after the death of Jonathan, David extended the help to one of the children of his late friend. And that is the kind of thing that you should be doing. Oh, can you put your hands together? You can't say this is your best friend, and when he's passed away, you don't even invite his children around you. You don't even show a continuation of the support that you can do at that particular time. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. Number six. So what did we say number one was? We say number one characteristic of a friend is that the person has strong liking for you, and you also same to the one. Number two, there is trust between you. Number three, you share similar aspirations and values. Number four, you are really close and intimate. Number five, it is a helping relationship, one who helps or supports you. Now, so we're going to number six. Number six characteristic is that such a person is respectful, because respect undergirds all kinds of relationships, whether it's a father-mother relationship, or whether it's a father-son, or mother-daughter, or siblings relationship, or an uncle with a niece or nephew. Whatever the relationship is, one thing that undergirds it, including marital relationship, is respect. Where there's respect, the relationship will last very long. Where there's no respect, within a short period, the relationship can collapse. So it's important that when you're calling somebody a friend, that person must be really courteous. And that person must esteem others highly, even than his or herself. The Bible says, esteem others more highly than yourself. So if you have a friend who doesn't respect you, and a friend who comes in and dishonors your mother, dishonors your father, dishonors your siblings, and goes ahead to even dishonor your pastor, you are in trouble. Especially if you are in that relationship for marriage. Because the way he or she does not respect the others, you are likely to inherit the same. And there is no relationship that can succeed, whether it's at the presidency, whether it's at the judiciary, whether it's among the police, or among pastors, or among congregants, whatever it is, if there is no respect, the relationship will collapse. That's it. So each must endeavor that in your heart, you will honor the other. Tell the person seated next to you, "I regard you highly in my heart." Tell the person. Or turn to two other persons and say, "I regard you very highly in my heart." I know you are not a thief. I regard you very highly. Amen. So if you say you have a best friend, and this best friend is not respectful, then there's trouble. Because one day, When you're married, this best friend will come and disrespect your spouse. Number 7. A friend is one who brings the best out of you. A friend is one who brings the best out of you. Whenever you meet, whenever you have conversations on the telephone, or you communicate by text or whatever, the company of this friend would inspire you to have a better version of yourself. So if you met this friend and you haven't had much education, this friend will keep encouraging you. Let's pick the forms. Let's complete them. Let's drop the forms off at so-so and so. And let's trust God that we'll gain admission. Is somebody hearing me? This is the friend who will call you. Let's go and pray. You find that after a number of years, your prayer life would have improved. This is the friend who will call you and say, oh, this morning I was reading so-so and so, and a certain enlightenment that I had was remarkable, and share with you. If he shares this with you 10 times, something will happen to you. You will start reading your Bible at home. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Oh, I didn't hear an amen from somebody. So you need somebody who will bring the best out of you. I know that by teaching in this church, some of you who came in and had finished your senior secondary school but didn't have much to boast about, you went back at the same exams. And as I speak now, some of you have 2 degrees and some of you have qualified as professionals in your field. Can you clap and give the praise to God? A friend will not talk you down. A friend will not leave your company. Then you have a sense of low self-esteem. A friend will not meet you and make you feel that you cannot accomplish what God has called you to do. But a friend will be an inspiration. He will be a motivation. He will be a source of encouragement. And he will put more steps into your steps. A friend will tell you when you are crawling that you can fly. You haven't started walking yet. You haven't started running yet. But the friend says that you can fly. And you believe it by the grace of God, you will find that God will lift you very high. Can I hear an amen? If you have a good friend, you will hardly stay at home without going to church or joining your church online. You will hardly stay at home. But there are some friends, you call them and say, oh, so you two are going, oh, Charlie, the way yesterday the program went to the tilapia and the pork. Listen, while you are taking the tilapia and the pork, leave space for God. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Don't use all your energy the night before, that nothing is left for the worship of God. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God with all thy what? Yes, with all your soul, with all your strength. So a friend is someone who will bring the best out of you. You may feel that you're a terrible wife, but a friend knows that when you get the right knowledge, you will click very well with your husband. You may feel that your family is under a serious satanic attack, but a friend will tell you that God says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And oh, come on, you should be shouting. Yeah, because you will prevail. You will prevail. You will have the upper hand finally. You will win in the name of Jesus Christ. Number 8. Friends are loyal. If you are in a relationship where there's no loyalty and you are describing it as friendship, I have difficulty with that. A friend will cover your back in both good and bad times. Loyalty is used in the period of adversity when strong winds blow against one person and the person is almost down and the person is almost going out. And it's like if society has rejected the person and everybody is looking at the person with disdain, but somehow you move in and you say, let's go and pray. And you pray with the person. The person lacks something, you say, oh, take a bit of this and use it for the children. And by the time you realize this other colleague is back on the feet and then can continue with the things of God. Your loyalty, your loyal love, that compassion of God in you will make a better person out of whoever it is. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says, while we were yet sinners and there was nothing to be desired in us, Christ died for us. Christ died for us when we were in a mess, when we were horrible, when nobody desired of us and were only good for the rubbish dump and to be condemned. But he died for us that we might have life. I want you to clap thanking him and shouting a big amen. I've seen friends when people, when those they call friends have problems at workplace, they shy away. I've seen people who call themselves friends and when their colleagues are having matrimonial challenges, they shy away. When the one they call a friend is going through health issues, they go there and they come back and say, I'm back with it. Oh, so for there are some things that you never hear. You don't want to hear. A pastor was not well, had lost weight, almost lost about one third of his weight. And his trousers were hanging on him. So whenever you visited him, the trousers were so loose that his belt could not help. So he had to hold the extended part of it while talking to you. And some cruel associate pastor said, oh, unapologetically said their senior pastor would die. Today their senior pastor is standing on his 2 feet. And God has raised him. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. You may condemn a man, but God will lift him up. Be careful what you say. You may declare a situation hopeless, but God is able to raise Lazarus 4 days after he has died from the ground. You are not God. So don't make pronouncements upon people when you don't know the situation. After all, people die and can be raised back again. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So, church, the hurts will reduce when we have loyal people. They won't give us away. They won't go and share all kinds of things somewhere and boast and say that I know something about them. When I say it, it will destroy them. No, loyal people don't talk like that. They just take it easy and they cover the backs of others. Turn to the next one and say that I know that my back is covered also by you. Tell the person, also by you. The first person who covers our back is God. But you need a friend in the natural who will cover your back. If a friend decides to be exposing the negative things he or she sees around you, maybe it's time to move on. Oh, you're not saying amen to that. I'm not asking you to leave your husband or wife. If it's that, then stay inside, because your loyalty is to help the person. Number nine, characteristic of a friend, is that a friend is honest. True friends are honest. When we say one is honest, what does it mean? That means the person is free of deceit. You know, there are some people, they are not even related to the president, but their mouths are full of deceit. So they'll come and tell you that they are the president's younger brother's son. There are some people, they are not known by any embassy, yet they go around saying they are business, they are what, visa contractors. And they collect huge sums of people from, you know, with a pretext that they will provide them with visas. That's not an honest person. That's a deceitful person. So an honest person is truthful. An honest person is also sincere. You may have dressed up and your combination is a little difficult. And you ask, how do I look? Your friend will say, I think if you pick the other pair of shoes, it goes better with this. It has been said nicely. It has been said gently. But it's an honest opinion. Are you hearing what I'm saying, somebody? So a friend is free, who is honest, is free of deceit, is also truthful, and is also sincere. The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. So the friend may tell you, I don't particularly approve of this, the way you handle it. You may be talking to your wife in a certain way and treating your wife in a certain way, and emotionally abandoning her. Your friend will call and say, Kojo, what's happening? I think you need a counselor. If you approve of it, I can recommend one for you and your wife so that you attend, because the way you people are handling each other is not the best. And I didn't like what happened the last time. Not judging, but I think you need something to help you. Number 10. A friend is one that is, or when you have a friendship, we say it is a relationship of interdependence. A friendship is a relationship of interdependence. When you are born, because you are an infant and cannot do much for yourself, you are very dependent. So you are dependent for breast milk, dependent for changing of diapers, dependent for even being picked up and your position change. Everything will be done for you. As people grow up and they become adolescents, they start to acquire a desire to be independent. So they want to wear their own shoes. Even if they are wearing it wrongly, they want to wear it. They want to wear the shoes. They want to wash their plates. They want to do something. And sometimes they feel that they are being overprotected or overguided. And some people, if they are not well coached, they grow with that, and their independence becomes a problem in their lives. So from dependence, you're supposed to get to a stage where you can do things for yourself. That is a stage of independence. Then as you mature, you move into another stage of interdependence. The reason why we marry is for interdependence. I'm not a man and you are not a woman. I need a bit of you to help me become better. You need a bit of me to help me become better. So you may have your strengths, you may have your weaknesses, But you cover one another with your strength. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You don't out of your ego blow your own strength in proportion and talk about how people like you, and in the office, even your boss and everybody is bound down to you, and you're a good manager at office but a poor husband at home. If you understand the concept of interdependence, you will never sideline your wife. Is somebody hearing me? And you will never sideline your husband as well. The two of you will be partners together. You'll be working together to achieve a common good. Can I hear an amen? Sisters, if you're going to marry a man who is too independent, think about it. Doesn't want your help, doesn't want your support. He wants to build a house alone. Oh yeah. He doesn't see you as a part of the project. Everything is by him. Everything is for him. Everything depends on him. You have to open your eyes and begin to shine your eyes. Somebody say amen to that. So there are things that a husband can do well, and there are also things that a wife can do very well. Let each of us have the opportunity to express our gifting and allow the best of us to minister and contribute to the relationship. Now, there are some relationships that are parasitic. A parasite is another creature that lives on another body and eats and drinks and lives on that body. Some of them are like ticks and fleas. There are some parasites, they enter your body and they start eating your flesh and creating problems for you. And there are some human beings who are very parasitic. They don't contribute. They don't help anybody. They are on you. They drain you until you become weak. And when you virtually are collapsing and falling, then shifting cultivation, they move elsewhere and go and drain another person. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Parasites never want to work. They never want to generate income. They never want to contribute. They want to live on the blessings of another without doing anything whatsoever. But God has not called us to be parasites. You know, there are some men who are interesting. While they are giving away money with their right hand, they collect the money back with their left hand. They will give you money on Monday and say, oh, it's for you, Ajua. Then Tuesday, they go, oh, Ajua, yesterday, how much did I give to you? Oh, 1,500. Ajua, give it back to me. If I add 500, so that it will be 2,000, because I need to do something. And when I finish, I'll bring it back. Now, when you add the 500 and give to them, you have now lost 500. Because they will never pay it back. Anytime you make a reference to, you give money to him, they are so loud. I give you 1,500. And they will say so loudly when a counselor comes that they will literally try to shut you down. But if you have done something right, you don't need to shout. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Those people are dangerous. They give away with their right hand and they collect it back with their left hand. They are the people who want to know your ATM PIN number when they are dating you, so that when you give to them, even behind your back, they will take the card and go and take money from it. May God deliver all of us. Can I hear an amen from somebody? A man was living a parasitic life, and the wife said, "Brother, I want you to sit up. I want you to find a job do. I want you to contribute." Then he frowns. Then he leaves home. He doesn't come back just to torment the woman emotionally. Say, "Hey, we are talking about love. You are not loving me." Now they have their special definition of love. I don't know where they got it from. So that was number what? Number 10. Number 11. Friends are those who sincerely rejoice with you when they hear of your breakthrough. And they are also the same people who identify with you when they see that you are downcast. So friends sincerely rejoice with you when they hear of your breakthrough. And the same friends sincerely identify with you when they know you have difficulties and challenges and you are downcast. So they stand with you through the thick and the thin. They are not envious of you. They are not jealous of you. They love you through and through. And they always wish that in the track that God has put you, you will be first. So that they too, in the track that God has put them, they will also be first. So while they seek to be first in their area, they desire for you that it shall be well with you. When you are down, they come close. They sincerely identify with you. When we couldn't get to the level where God was, Christ came down to identify with us and to lift us from where we were, that he would take us to where he belongs. Why are we teaching this? We are teaching this so that people would know the right parameters and the right things to consider when you are saying someone is a friend. Because sometimes it may just be a friend that you have and that's all. But it's more critical when you are cultivating that friendship into marriage. And then you don't know what it is to have a good friend. And you settle for anything, because for some people, they define a friend as somebody who pays their hospital bills, who gives them money for mobile phone credits. A friend is somebody who every weekend will give them chop money. Now, someone can give you all these monies and still not love you. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. And still not be loyal for you, and will still not manifest any of the characteristics that we have said, because of the advantage that he or she desires to have from you. Number 12. Friendship has to do with unconditional acceptance. It has to do with unconditional acceptance. A friend knows your faults. A friend knows your uprising and your downsitting. A friend knows when you are broke and when you have nothing, and when your creditors are chasing after you. But this is a friend who will not be judgmental of you. But because he has embraced you as a friend, he or she accepts you unconditionally. There are some people who base their friendships on some conditionalities, like the IMF. You know, there are people who make friends in very funny ways. They are mulattoes, half castes. So all their friends must be half caste. Now that's not the spirit of Christ. There are some friends, they feel they are pretty. And they have certain statistics. I'm talking about women. They have certain statistics on their body. So they must necessarily cultivate friends who have the same statistics. So that when they walk around town, on the principal streets, there will be a cynosure to all eyes. And everybody will turn and say, hey, you are lying. Quench. There are some there whose friendship, as soon as they hear you are from my hometown, hey! But those are some of the people who will dupe you. Because you are not looking at the Spirit of Christ in their lives. The Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, than somebody from your lineage. It is not all your siblings that you are very close with. Am I preaching the word? You come from the same mother and father, pass through the same womb, raised in the same house, yet you see yourself as siblings and you are not able to confide in each other because you are not that close. You are not enemies, but you are not that close. And meanwhile, you have another friend. When you see the call from afar, you pick the call and say, hey, Ojam, 2 days new. Something happens to you. Listen to me. God does not want us to cultivate friends based on flimsy things. Jesus was so anointed. If he wanted to cultivate friends, he wouldn't have cultivated friends with people like Mary Magdalene, whom he casted demons. Whom he cast. There's no past tense of cast. Whom he cast out demons from. Jesus would have sought for people of his caliber. He wouldn't have had one. Because the man is too anointed as a Messiah to relate to fisher folks and tax collectors who were even seen by men as cruel and as crooked and corrupt. But Jesus found a friend. Can I hear an amen? Can I have a hear an amen? Listen to me. No matter the situation, there is somebody who can be a friend to you. The Bible says, a friend that is close is better than a brother who is far away. Let me give you the hypothetical situation. Assuming that a person collapses now in Accra, and you have a brother in Philadelphia, and nobody assists you while you collapse, your brother in Philadelphia, although he has all the money and he loves you, by the time he books a flight and gets here, he will not hear a good story about you. So a friend who is near, the Bible says, is better than a brother who is far away. So you may have brothers and sisters, but where you are, you need a friend there. Apostle Paul would travel to Ephesus and he will raise and mentor somebody to take over after the church. And he will be friends with the Timothys and the Tituses and all the others. Because he had to relate to them. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So you need to accept people unconditionally. Not everybody is educated by way of studying in a formal institution. Does that mean that you discriminate amongst people? I want you to turn to somebody behind you or in front of you and tell the person, I accept you unconditionally. I accept you. Yeah. The person may not be your closest friend, but you accept the person. And when it's a close friend, then it is unconditional. He may come from an alley and may have been born in a trotro and may not know his mother and father. But if you are to relate to the person is born of God and has a destiny. So you're relating to that destiny that you're associating with. Can I see you clap to the glory of God? Number 13, a friend sacrifices to make your life better. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. A true friend goes the second mile for you to make your life better. Jesus loved us and he went the second mile. He was sacrificial in everything that he did. And unless we sacrifice for our children, sacrifice for our spouses, sacrifice for one another in the congregation of God, things will not change. Even in the nation, we need to sacrifice one for the other, and the nation will be a better place. Somebody say amen to God's glory. So church, we need to do some sacrifices. We don't have to be selfish and self-centered and very egoistic, but we need to let ourselves go and lay down our lives according to the scriptures, that God Almighty will reward our efforts. Number 14, you must be aware that friendship is always two ways. You must be aware that friendship is always two ways. The success of it does not depend on one person. Its success depends on the two persons. You see, if I read a book many years back, and it says that one thing that keeps a relationship going is enthusiasm at both ends. The word enthusiasm means to have high interest in something. So if one person was calling and the other was not, one person high enthusiasm, the other not, the relationship will not grow. It may probably not thrive. And it may probably not go far. But what God wants is that it must be a relationship where one party is as excited as the other. So I call after some time, a number of days, weeks, you call back, you send a text, hi, ask about the family, etc. And there is that relationship. But if it's only one way, and it's always the woman who is calling and the man is not, and it's always the woman who is saying, I love you, and the man doesn't open his mouth to say, I love you, then we need to baptize you in the ocean again. Say amen. So tell the next person, it takes two people to make a relationship work. It takes two people. It takes two people. I like it when somebody is sick and says, oh, even my boss didn't call me. Have you told them you are sick? It's two ways. It's two ways. The children must call their parents. The parents must call their children. So be aware that a friendship is always two ways. All right, so we stop at point 14. But my next subtopic has to do with how do I become a friend? You see, we always condemn other people and say, oh, he's a bad friend. But how can you be a good friend yourself? In Proverbs 18:24, it teaches us. It says, a man that has many friends shows himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What's the scripture saying, the first part? It's saying that he who shows himself friendly shall have many friends. He who shows himself friendly shall have many friends. Can you get up and greet people with a fist? Greet seven people and say, may the Lord bless you. I treasure we being children of God together. Please go around. May the Lord bless you. I treasure we being children of God together. Go to seven people. Yes. Yes. Yeah, tell somebody, may the Lord bless you. It's important. Show yourself friendly. Don't sit at one place always with a frown, long face. Nobody knows what is going on in your head. Smile at times. Be warm, be nice, be courteous, be pleasant. Take the initiative and reach out to somebody who is sitting quietly. And ask them after service, were you blessed by the word? The other day I asked someone, were you blessed by the whole service? The person said yes. I said, which part? I said, I like the music. I said, okay, if it's the music you like, it's great, fantastic. If you don't like anything at all, then it is problematic. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you must show yourself friendly. I'm not asking you to laugh like a laughing jackal running on the principal streets of Accra and laughing with your 32 opened. But I'm saying that be friendly. This thing of staying by yourself, you don't want anybody to offend you, you won't offend. You know your limits. There are some conversations when people bring, you don't open your mouth, you just nod because you know the conversation is not good enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the more you try to protect yourself, the more you'll be offended. Love does not build a wall around it and hide in it and say that I'm waiting for Jesus's appearance. When you do that, people will find you queer and they will talk about it. Say, ship into the service, ship into the trotro. And gone. So learn how to be warm. Learn how to cheer the countenance of another. It's much more difficult in places now that face mask is being worn. Unless the eyes glow and the face mask moves at the lips, you are not sure whether they are smiling or not. So there are lots of people who are not smiling since face mask was being worn. But show yourself friendly. So, to become a friend, you must show yourself friendly. The reason why we must show ourselves friendly is that you and I cannot live alone. It is not good for a man to dwell alone. Otherwise, God would have left Adam that way. But he realized Adam needed a companion so that they can have conversation and fellowship together. God knows that you being alone is not healthy enough. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. Can I hear have an amen from somebody? God wants you. You see, you can be alone without being lonely. But if you're alone for too long, loneliness can set in. And God created social relationships because we are all socially inclined. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, just as a brother sharpeneth the countenance of a friend. When you are with another good friend, the friend sharpens you at all times. Otherwise, you'll be blunt. You are alone. You are yourself. You have your own ideas. Why are we growing church? Because different people share the word of God with us. Am I not speaking the truth? They challenge us. They feed us so that we come to a place of maturity. That's why God gave the fivefold gifts. One of the things that he seeks to do is to help the saints mature. So I suggest to you, marriage is good. Tell the next person, I say, marriage is good. Marriage is good. The Bible says marriage is good and honorable. Honorable started before parliament. If you are in a single life, you are blessed. So successfully live as a single person, no problem with that. But don't live a lonely life. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? There are some people who don't want to spend a little on another person. If you don't want to spend a little on a gardener, you will work yourself to fatigue. If you don't want to spend a little on somebody to help with your clothes, you don't want to spend a little on somebody to support you. You see, God blesses you so you be a blessing to another person. Yeah. Sometimes you may send someone, and when the person comes, so take part of the change. You are ministering to the person's life. Can I hear an amen? And when God sees you are supporting somebody, he will open doors for you and bring you more because you have the intention of supporting somebody. So be friendly. I said be warm, be pleasant, be nice. Be courteous, be respectful. While other people speak, learn to listen. Then talk afterwards. Don't be the one who is talking. Oh. I met a friend recently I had been in secondary school with. And when you meet this friend, he talks. He really talks. He will tell you how he traveled and how he has worked and the monies he has brought, and he's building something like this hotel, and which has 13 rooms. He has expanded it to 20 rooms, and he'll be just talking. You see, that's not a good conversation. A good conversation listens to the other person. You ask relevant questions which relate to the other person. Then they will also ask similar questions. And then you build on something. And if you want to talk about politics and e-levy, you can go ahead and talk about it. So allow other people to talk and develop good listening habits. Esteem others more highly than yourself. That's what the Bible says. Initiate a conversation and strike an acquaintance. And when you are getting close to someone you want to call a friend, then sincerely like them. Don't go and take advantage of them. Know that you are getting into their lives to cover their backs. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? I spoke about liking. And I said I'll come to liking. Are you there? Are you there? What is liking? Liking means a feeling of regard or fondness, affection for something. So you have a fondness, you have affection, you have regard for that thing. Number two, liking is something that meets your taste. I like this person. Something that meets your taste. I like this relationship. I like this message. I don't like it. Then that means it doesn't meet your taste. Number three, liking is something that you have an excitement and an attraction for with love. You have an excitement, you have an attraction for with love. The thing gets you happy and the thing draws you closer and you draw closer in love. I want you to appreciate the fact that the Bible didn't say, for God so liked the world. For God so did what? Loved. So love is always higher than like. But relationships, if they are to lead to anything meaningful, will start from like. And it is when the liking is strong, then the love flows naturally. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. If you don't like the person, you can destroy the person. If you don't like the person, you can expose the person badly. If you don't like the person, you can mess the person up. But when you like the person, love will naturally flow through that channel for you. Can I hear an amen? I was counseling some people recently, and the man stood and said, honestly, I didn't like her. I've just been tolerating her. And the lady started weeping. Said, I knew it. I knew it. Well, if you know it now, then don't marry such a person. Because the person will disappoint you in the future. Can I hear an amen? Is somebody saying amen, amen to the word of God? So after liking a person, you go into acquaintance. I'm talking about the path to marriage now. In acquaintance, you barely know the person. You know little about the person. You are not yet close friends. Acquaintance gives you opportunity to connect to others. You may connect to your neighbor, connect to your co-worker, connect to a group, connect to members of a congregation. It's about like the first time you are meeting somebody. And with acquaintance, you strike it. So there are various ways by which you strike acquaintance. Were you the person I met at the mall? And sincerely, maybe the person looks like that. Were you the person I met at the mall yesterday? The person said, which mall? Then you mentioned them. I said, yes. I think I saw you in the company of two people. He said, yes. There's something you people are talking about now. I like your yes. May God bless your yes. I didn't hear an amen. You wear a fragrance. It's quite unique. Do you mind sharing the name? The person says no. You are striking an acquaintance. Because it's my trade secret. I didn't hear an amen. You choose your colors nicely. That is amazing. You are striking an acquaintance. Oh, let me offer you a seat. You are striking an acquaintance. You are starting a relationship. It may be a friend forever. Can I hear an amen? So God wants us to be friends. He wants us to be friends with Him. Wants us to be friends amongst ourselves. And He wants us to keep the back of one another. Today I bless you with the wisdom of making friends. Apostle Paul was very good. Whichever city he went, he made a friend. So he could write letters back to the church. But he made friends. If you don't make good friends, then you say all friends are bad. Even in prison, people make good friends. And the good friendship transforms their lives. When they come out, they are better persons. Some of your progress will be accelerated when you get a good friend. I didn't hear an amen. We've been preaching at the prisons, one of the prisons in Accra, and we met a young man who had been jailed 27 years for armed robbery. After having served 24 years and was of good behavior, eventually the person was giving the president's amnesty. When this ex-convict left the confines of the prison, someone took hold of him, gave him a job, and bought a car for him. Oh, come on. Friendship can be sweet. Brother Kaka and I went to minister at the prisons about a month ago, or 3 weeks ago. And when we got there, he had come to visit his colleagues. And so while I was ministering and the place was very hot, he was standing and shouting. He had tasted the inside of the prison and now tasting the outside. So when we closed, he says he would usher me to my car. So when we got to the car, he had passed close by my car. I didn't know it was his car. And he says, when I came out, somebody took hold of me, gave me a job, and pays me so I go around preaching and bought this car for me to facilitate me. If you have a good friend, you see, you may choose a friend who doesn't have anything today, but in a few years when God lifts the person and it's a real friend, that person will surprise you. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Put your hands together. A friend may call you and say, I have a parcel of land. I want to give it away. How much can you offer? That's a friend. Even if you have it, say, take it. Give me the money. That's a friend. And I believe some people, their progress is delayed because they don't take good friends. And some don't take friends at all. And feel, how can I invite myself outside this country to go and preach? It's somebody who will invite me. It's somebody who will open the doors of the congregation for me. It's somebody who will relate to me. It's somebody hearing what I'm saying. So you need some help. You need support. God will bring people your way to facilitate the pace, to accelerate your pace and take you to where you belong. If you are despising friendship and you are treating friends wrongly, you will find that things may look more difficult for you than they should be. May the Lord bless you. with the best of friends this year and the years to follow, that your life will never be the same, that these friends will touch your life, that some capital may be sunk into your business. Can I hear an amen? That your accommodation will change, that your means of transportation will change for the better, that your children will be in better schools, that your income will be higher and better. May God give you friends. You have to pray for good friends. This church must be a place of divine friendships. We shouldn't be eating and devouring one another. We shouldn't be destroying one another. Let the spirit of brotherly love, according to Hebrews 13:1, let it prevail in the midst of the church. Your amen was not strong enough. When a friend is sincere, nobody will come and propose to you when they don't mean it. And meanwhile, they have proposed to three other people and dating you at the same time, three people. You are the fourth. May God take you out of that thing. I didn't hear an amen from somebody. You know, some major breakthroughs have come through friends who just introduced you to something, and that was all. If you pray for that, we may call them destiny helpers, but they are friends. They develop some liking for us. They may not know as much, but they've come under a strong edge to get something done for you. You are the product of the help of people. So you must learn to give back so that other people's lives will be better. I bring my message to a close.